We pray. Gracious Lord, we are so grateful that you have preserved your word in our midst, and that through this word you illuminate to us your very nature. You illuminate all the things that you do in this creation and in this world for us. You illuminate that you are indeed the God who pursues sinners and seeks to not leave us where you found us. You are the God who illuminates promises for this present moment and promises ahead. Lord, may your Spirit help us to saturate ourselves with all of these truths and realities about you and what you have done for us and the inheritance that you have awaiting each and every one of us. When we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, Lord, we will end with a vision of the light of your face. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever been in a moment when a lot was happening and you didn't fully understand what you were experiencing? When I thought about asking you that question, I had to ask myself that question first, and a memory immediately came to my mind. It was 1991. I had flown into Lawton, Oklahoma with a bunch of other 17 and 18-year-olds, and there was a bus that picked us up at the airport. And then the bus made its way to the fort, and then once we got on the fort, we went right to the barbershop, if you could call it that, and they shaved our heads down. There were some people with some pretty hair, long hair. And it was gone in a matter of 40 seconds or less. I was never convinced that these were actually trained barbers. Then we left the barbershop, got on the bus, and went to a big warehouse, the supply house, and we first received a duffel bag, and then we just went through a line getting every piece of army equipment that we would own and trying to cram it into that duffel bag. When that process had finished, we were ushered out of this warehouse, not back onto a nice bus, but back into a 18-wheeler cattle trailer. We were in the trailer park, crammed in there. I don't know how many were in there, 200-300 guys, with the one backpack that they could bring to boot camp and this new duffel bag. They put us all in there, crammed us in there like cattle, and then shut the gate and started driving and driving and driving to the other side of the base. And it stopped in front of what would be our home, the barracks, for the next 8 weeks. And the door opened. And they yelled for all of us to get out. And we went to the sharks. Some call them drill sergeants, but we were fresh, bleeding meat for all of the sharks waiting for all of us to get off of the bus or the cattle trailer. And I'll tell you, my first thought, although I didn't understand everything that was happening, was fear. There were lots of commands being shouted. Lots of words that I can't say in this sacred space being shouted. Bags were being emptied. Bags were being filled back up. Bags were being emptied again and being filled back up. And it went on and on and on. And I knew immediately those two things. One, I was afraid, and whatever control I thought I had in the world as a 17-year-old was gone. Now, in looking back, I can understand a few things, right? This was part of a long process. They were stripping us down. They were going to turn us into something that we weren't at that moment. Those are the things I can begin to understand and more fully realize when I look back. But in the moment, I didn't have that clarity. It was a little, let's say, cloudy. Well, as we read our gospel lesson today about the transfiguration, it is as odd to you and I as it was to Peter, James, and John. It's also fair to say that they didn't fully understand everything that they were experiencing in that moment. Sure, like I did, they would come to understand one day in the future more about that moment, but their full understanding wasn't on that mountain on that moment. But just because they don't have full understanding doesn't mean that they didn't think something on that mountain. And we can always trust the Apostle Peter to understand what he's thinking. Why? Because he always shares what he's thinking. So let's go in our minds to that scene as we have it today. Jesus invites Peter, James, and John up on this mountain to pray. We know it's very late at night, and the disciples are sleepy, just as they will be sleepy in Gethsemane at the time of Jesus' arrest. But in the midst of the sleepiness, they're praying, and in the midst of their praying, Jesus' physical presence is completely altered and transfigured. And the disciples in that moment see something they have never seen with their eyes before. And as I realize that, you could almost say that's the summary of the life of the disciples with Jesus, isn't it? A series of seeing things they had never seen before. And it would be no different on this mountain. Like the disciples and Jesus, though, we must realize that a lot is going on. The disciples see Moses and Elijah. Peter, it tells us, is afraid, and you would assume the others, James and John, are also. But even in the midst of this fear, Peter wants this moment to last. He knows it's something good. He wants to erect three tabernacles, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And as he's thinking these thoughts and expressing those words to Jesus, a cloud comes and envelops all six of them. Now that experience would have only been familiar to Moses and Jesus, not the rest. But when Moses has the similar experience, Moses, like Peter, is also afraid. But then from the midst of this cloud, a voice speaks, and we all know the words. It's God the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And as soon as those words are finished, Moses and Elijah are gone, and only Jesus is before the disciples. Moses, the great hero of the Old Testament for the Jews, God's chosen one to give the law, well, Moses will not be, nor will the law be, the bridge between earth and heaven. Nor will Elijah or any of the prophets and all of their prophecies be the bridge between earth and heaven. Jesus, and Jesus only, will be the bridge between earth and heaven and the bridge between Old and New Testaments. Jesus spoke with Moses and Elijah before they vanished from the disciples' sight. And we have an insight as to what they were talking about. They were talking about Jesus' exodus and departure that is soon to come in the city of Jerusalem, meaning his own passion, his own suffering, his own cross, and his own death. That's what they're talking about at this moment, is the greatest act of salvation and deliverance that the world would ever know, and a deliverance that far surpasses anything that ancient Israel experienced when they left Egypt. Today, if you want to know how do you move from earth to heaven, the answer is simple. It's Jesus. It's his cross. It's his resurrection. He is the bridge for you and for me, and he would go to Jerusalem, he would die, but he would rise again, just as Pastor Bray says, you see hints of this resurrection, and he would rise having conquered sin, death, and the devil. But let's turn our attention back to the mountain. Peter clearly wants to stay on the mountain. He knows it's good to be in God's glory, and he is right about that. But what he doesn't get is what we also often miss, is that glory in this life is always fleeting. And suffering comes before we enter God's lasting, eternal glory. There is no lasting glory in Christ without suffering and death. And this would prove true for Jesus, and it will prove true for each and every one of us also. But like Jesus and his disciples, they've got to come down from this mountaintop, experience, and return to the world. And they quickly realize the world is nothing like the mountaintop. And when Jesus and his disciples go down, after having spent the night on the mountain, they are met immediately by a great crowd at the base of the mountain. And right away, after this glory of God's voice and the transfigurement of Jesus Christ, right away, they are met with a father who is desperate to have his son delivered from demon possession. From glory and transfigurement to the work of the devil back in the world, continuing to wreak havoc on God's people and God's creation. And just after that moment, Jesus tells his disciples yet again that he is going to have to suffer and die and then rise again. And then on the heels of that, as they move on, the disciples find themselves in an argument about which of them is the greatest in the kingdom. Missing the whole purpose of the transfiguration. Missing the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry and humility. It will be some time before they learn the pattern that was given on the Mountain of Transfiguration, which is suffering will precede glory. It's just the way it is. It's the way it was for Jesus, the way it is for you and me. And whether you see it this way or not, every moment that you step into this sanctuary on a Sunday morning, it is indeed a mountaintop experience. Not because of the music, certainly not because of the preaching, but because of your Lord's invitation to you to join him at this glorious table and banquet, where he gives you his very real body and blood as the glorious and victorious Savior of the world. And you also, like the disciples, you get up from this glorious place and you enter back into this world. And like the disciples, Jesus went with them, and it's true for you and I, as we leave this place and enter back into the world, our Lord Jesus goes with us. Where we are, there He is also. And yes, it is a messy world we enter back into. Filled with afflictions and struggles, seasons of suffering will surely come. The devil is at work and sometimes even uses people like you and me to do that work. Yes, there's beauty in the world, but there's no shortage of brokenness in the world. And here's maybe something we can take away is when we enter these seasons or we walk through these seasons with one another, we can take each other to this story of Jesus' transfiguration. And we can remind one another, suffering first, glory second. We can return to this table. And we can receive the bread of life and eternity that Jesus gives us. We can receive the comfort, no matter the circumstances, and the assurance that He and His cross is our bridge from this place to the place of eternal rest and peace. It's the kind of assurance we need over and over and over again in this world. And until then, the benefits of His death and resurrection will be dispensed from this altar. Until then, the benefits of His body and blood will continue to visit members in their own homes when they can't leave them. The benefits of His death and resurrection will continue to come to members in their hospital room, assuring them that they have the bridge from this world to the next through the work and the person and the sacrament of Jesus Christ for them. And today, when we receive this great miraculous gift, we will enter back into the world after we walk out, after we have some coffee, after we have some donuts. Shipley, by the way, is giving free donuts away today, just to let you know. And we'll walk back into whatever's going on and whatever may come of the day, but we will walk away knowing that the Lord Jesus goes with us. And as long as we remain in this world, He is continuing to transfigure your heart and mine into His very own likeness. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the number of confirmations that You give us throughout the Scriptures of Your love and Your gracious work on our behalf is almost too numerous to count. Even in John's Gospel, he says that if I were to write all of these things down, there wouldn't be enough volumes in the world to contain the works of our Lord Jesus Christ on behalf of each and every one of us. So Lord, let us walk with one another in these moments of life where there is suffering, where there is struggle. But also, Lord, continue to deliver us the assurance that when we close our eyes in death, they will open in glory to the light of Your glorious face. And we will be forever changed. We will receive a resurrected and glorified body just as our Lord Jesus Christ did at His resurrection. And we will live with you and everyone else who was touched and redeemed by your great work on the cross. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.